She stood in the rain, barely able to walk, hobbling along on a mop head used as support to hold her up, waiting for a ride with a fractured pelvis. Not one staff stayed behind with her. What do you do when you're injured at work, undocumented, and your boss tells you not to file a claim? In this episode of Top Priority Chronicles, I'm exposing how a woman cleaning luxury apartments here in Portland was hurt on the job and nearly erased from the system by someone who looked like her, spoke like her, and still chose exploitation over humanity. This story isn't just about a broken body. It's about the lie that undocumented workers don't deserve protection. It was April 26, 2024. It was a gray and cloudy and wet day in Portland, Oregon. It was a routine cleaning shift inside of a luxury apartment building here in Portland. Miss Francine, a hardworking cleaner, home cleaner, earning $21 an hour, falls from a ladder while cleaning kitchen cabinets. "Hey!" she screamed as she fell, while her boss was working in the other room. Hearing the scream, the female boss and owner of the company came out to check on Miss Francine. She attempted to help Miss Francine up. Miss Francine let her know she was unable to move. "Please don't touch me," she said. But instead of calling 911 or providing any level of care, her boss handed her a mop to use as a crutch. My investigation revealed that the boss escorted Miss Francine outside the apartment building and left her waiting on the curb with that mop stick, waiting until someone came to pick her up and take her to receive medical care. During that same instance, the boss had mentioned to Miss Francine, "You're not a legal doc, you are undocumented. You could get in trouble if you report this," which in my estimation was an attempt to get Miss Francine to not file an insurance claim and not go to the hospital in an avoidance of addressing or taking any accountability for the incident that had happened on her business's account and on her dime and on her time. I took recorded statements from the Miss Francine, the claimant, and I also took a recorded statement from her significant other who came and picked her up while she was waiting in the rain and left after the fall with a broken pelvis. I also took a recorded statement from the owner of the business, Miss Boss. And there was conflicting statements. I must say there was consistency in the statement of Francine and her boyfriend. All he could tell me about was what happened after he picked her up and what the call that he received from her. What he told me and what she told me aligned from the time she called him and then when she had to wait for him to come and what happened after he picked her up. Where there was inconsistency is when I collected the statement from the boss. The boss was adamant that the name of her company wasn't the name of the company that the Miss Francine was reporting. She also reported that she did not have any workers' comp insurance at the time of the fall, but she had since then gotten workers' comp coverage, and that she was insured at the time of the recorded statement, but she was not covered at the time of the fall. Mrs. The boss also claims She did not see the fall. Miss Francine, the claimant, also claims that the boss was not in the same room with her, but the boss did hear the A that the claimant screamed when she fell, which is my understanding is a common saying amongst those who speak Spanish in their own language when they fall or when they're in a it's just like if I were to fall, I say, hey, or something like that. It's a similar statement. The boss reported that the claimant had fallen at home. But yet, the boss acknowledged she gave the claimant a mop. She heard her fall. She came in, saw her on the ground, and then gave her a mop to leave the apartment. But then was reporting that the claimant fell at home. When the Miss Francine was picked up by her significant other, he immediately took her to the hospital. She was diagnosed with a fractured pelvis, and she made a report at the hospital. And once that once she shared her conclusion, I forget what they call the reports that you get once you are leaving a like a checkout. Conclusion of your visit, summary from the doctor's office. It lined up in the statements that the claimant gave to me during the recorded statement lined up with what she told the hospital. I think the most, you know, not only was Miss Francine's recorded statement very believable and very emotional because she was, she just talked about the fear that she had with filing a claim and with being warned that she could get in trouble or be removed from the country for making a claim really made her think twice and it made her hesitant to come forward. But she does also report that the boss was paying her during the time that she was unable to work in hopes that she was not going to file a claim. And the amount the boss was paying her was not the equivalent of what she was missing out on work. So it really was a disservice to the claimant to not file a claim. And it was to the benefit of the boss that she did not file a claim. So I think for me, that was a significant event because it was only one case for me, but I can only imagine how often that is happening in our day and time, especially in the climate of our society in the United States at this time. So I felt it was imperative for me to shed light on this issue because I imagine it's not a one and done issue. I imagine this is something that's being done possibly on a regular basis, and it's not a unique case by a long shot. But I also want to make sure that I speak to undocumented workers working in the cleaning industry, in the construction industry, and the domestic worker sectors. Many are told they don't have rights. You do have rights. Employers use language and cultural connection and legal status and tools to suppress accountability. I must acknowledge that it may be a challenge. It may be scary and that people may make threats against you, but it is in your best interest if you are hurt on the job to file an insurance claim. If the business is not covered, that's not your responsibility. You have to still take responsibility and cover for your family. And you are not at fault. And even if you are at fault when you're on the job, the workers' comp or the insurance company does a thorough investigation and you are still warranted insurance benefits, even if you are at fault on the job. So I just encourage those who are undocumented to make sure that you find out what your rights are and that you make sure that you enforce your rights to the best of your ability and get support or reach out to and ask questions. Look online or call an insurance company directly to ask questions. This is not a misunderstanding. Oftentimes, it is a pattern of manipulation that those that are in similar cultures use against someone that may not know the full extent of their rights or the law. And so I just encourage leaders and business owners to have integrity. What integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is looking. Even if it may cost you, if you may be in trouble because you didn't have the appropriate insurance you needed to have. Do not project your fear onto your worker. That is the definition of a lack of integrity when you do the wrong thing, hoping that no one will find out. I just want to encourage those amongst us to, if you have friends that you know are operating in this capacity, if you know someone who's experienced getting hurt on the job and questioning if they should file a claim, I just encourage friends and family to get involved, advocate for your loved ones, speak up on their behalf, maybe even write a letter or have an attorney write a letter to that boss or to the employer alert them that the person knows their legal rights and that they will enforce them if the employer does not make right on giving them the information they need to file the claim. The good thing about this is that the employee did her own due diligence to file a claim. Even if she filed it with the wrong insurance company, she still filed a claim and the insurance company was able to connect it to the right business. So it ended up being what I saw was a win for her. The outcome of this is that the claimant is still in pain. She's still unable to work at this time. So I think sometimes an employer, if you get hurt on the job, they may anticipate a short time being out or you coming back right away. And if you don't know and they don't know the extent of your injuries, it does not mean that you will be able to bounce back. So it's always better to err on the side of caution. File a claim when you're hurt on the job. I don't care if it's minor or you just never know what it can turn into. And if you don't file it at that time, there's a good chance you miss out on the opportunity to file that claim if you don't do it within a certain amount of time. So I think what really, you know, I added an emotional attachment to this case for me was Miss Francine was good enough to clean apartments, but she wasn't good enough to be protected when she got hurt. And that was unconscionable for me. And that's the part that I refuse to stay silent about. Three powerful takeaways I hope that you are able to take away from today's podcast episode. And that is, being undocumented does not disqualify you from workplace rights or medical care. Miss Francine was able to find out the hard way, but in a good way, that she was able to get medical care. She was able to receive start an insurance claim, even being an undocumented worker. And if it had not just been for the experience, she may have held out and she may have been in pain and still been without an income. And for her to get what she needed for me was a win. Number two, no one, not even someone from your own community, has the right to exploit your labor or silence your injury. And it is up to us to use our voice to the appropriate avenue to report whatever we need to report and not let fear silence our voices. If you've been harmed on the job or if you've had a disservice, if you've even been discriminated against, I encourage you to find the right authority figure and make your claim, make a report. Do not stay silent. Number three, if you are hurt on the job, report the truth. Employers are required to provide a safe workplace regardless of your status. Now, if you don't even know if it's your fault or the employer's fault, it wasn't deemed faulty equipment. It may have even been deemed the fault of the worker, but she was still covered under workers' comp. So I just want to be clear that even if you are at fault, most times, unless you're doing something outside of your job that you're not supposed to be doing, workers' comp insurance should cover your claim. So regardless of your status, I just want to reiterate that. know your rights, know that you have the right to be protected, know the right that you have the right to receive medical care, and know that you have the right to file an insurance workers' comp claim if you are injured on the job. I want to make sure I leave behind viable resources. Nationally, if you are ever, if you know someone, or if you or someone you love is undocumented and injured at work, there is help out there. You do have rights and you do deserve care. OSHA, O-S-H-A, Whistleblower Protection Program. They operate in a confidential manner and immigration status does not matter. Their phone number is 1-800-321-6742. Let me repeat that phone number. It's 1-800-321-6742. And that is the OSHA Whistleblower Protection Program. Next is the National Day Laborer Organization Network. And they don't have a phone number, but their website is N as in Nancy, D as in dog, L as in lion, O as in ostrich, N as in neck.org. That stands for National Day Laborer Organization Network. Use that acronym.org to reach their website. Locally, Oregon workers can call the Oregon Workers Compensation Division. You can also advise anonymously if you want to call on your behalf or on someone else's behalf. That phone number is 1-800-452-0208. There's also the Oregon Law Center. It offers free legal help to low-income and undocumented workers. And for those that don't know, Oregon is Portland is a sanctuary city in the state of Oregon. So I just encourage for those who need the support to reach out. That phone number is 503-473-8329. And lastly, there is Oregon's Farm Worker Union. And that's P as in Patty, C as in Cat, U as in Unicorn, N as in Nancy.org. PECON.org is the online website to receive support or to make reach out to Oregon Farm Workers Union. I appreciate you chiming in for another episode of Top Priority Chronicles. If you haven't already, please subscribe, and so that way you are alerted whenever a new episode comes out. If you have any input, if you have a story idea, if you'd like to share your story, please reach out. You can reach me on my website, toppriorityinvestigations.com. You can reach me on social media, Facebook at Jamie Carr, or Top Priority Investigations on Instagram. You can also reach me on LinkedIn under both, and I would love to connect. Thank you again for spending your time with me. Until we see each other again.